Now we're teaching on manifesting as sons of God, and we're in this last area we call vengeance and recompense. Now, like I said, this that we're talking about here is an end time message. It's not something that, I had another piece of paper here somewhere here. That is not something that that perhaps was preached before many people had a hold of it and so forth. But it is an end time message. It's for something, it's for some things today. And like I said over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, it talks about God has reserved better things for us. And I really believe that these things were reserved for us because when you have better revelation, you're going to have better manifestation. And that I believe he's reserved them for us because he's expecting for us to wrap this thing up. And I don't mind doing it. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So in this, we're going through some things here, and some of you may have not heard some of these things before, but I'm reading them out of the Bible, and I'll take you to the Bible so that you can verify the fact that these things are so and are true. Let's read and start in verse 14. I'll read and you just follow along with me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, that's not talking about suffering sickness or whatever have you. And verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, the church is the world's only hope. We'll say more about that. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? So right now. All right, so as we look at this, we're continuing on where we talked last time, and we're talking about boundaries, one of the things that we mentioned, and talking about what boundaries mean and what they mean to us. And when we're talking about boundaries, we're talking about something that basically has been containing the church, or church being contained. And these boundaries that we're talking about here are, for the most part, are self-induced. For the most part, self-induced. So when we talk about boundaries, we're talking about over in John chapter 17. Would you turn there very quickly, please? John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Amen. Now in John chapter 17, Jesus said something here. And he said it in verse 14. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Say, I'm not of the world. Jesus said, even as I am not of the world. Now, Jesus didn't have any boundaries. So he is putting you in his category. He is saying he didn't have any boundaries, so you not have any boundaries. Now, we know the boundaries, basically, for the belief is the Word of God. But the Word of God says some things. When Eve was in the garden, God said, don't eat of that tree right there. Okay. Now, that was a prohibition. But now, as far as boundaries were concerned, he didn't have boundaries in their lives. But the devil tried to talk Eve into thinking that there was a boundary. He said, God knows that the day you eat of this tree, he knows you'll be like him. Well, Eve was already like him. So here the enemy again, and he's trying to deceive people and talking about that. So what we said is that we, as believers, are not marked by this world's boundaries. Verse 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Now, this is interesting. Don't take them out of the world. And some people think that once they get born again, they're not to work a job in the world. Now that listen now, I just had somebody in the first service to come up and tell me that's what they thought. But that's not true. Matter of fact, he said don't take them out of the world. That we are to go into the world. And we are to exercise influence in that world. Because every place that he sends you, he expects you to bring that place under kingdom jurisdiction. Okay, you with me? All right, and then verse 16, and they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Jesus said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world. So Satan is out to contain the church. He's out to limit us. And what limits the world should not limit the church. We're in this world, but not of it. And the boundaries are not from God. So the enemy tries to impose boundaries or boundaries that he himself can't impose. He tries to get you to do his dirty work. He tries to get you to put the boundaries there. Now, I call them invisible fences, and these things that the enemy puts up, they're not visible, but they're in there or they're around us or working in the environment to keep us from a certain area or a certain place. So now we want to break through these boundaries. Now, there are some spiritual things because you and I basically are right now in a spiritual battle. I mean, there are spiritual things that are happening around us, and some of the resistance that we've been getting and so forth, of course, most of it has been spiritual. But we're to break through those things. I want to talk about some of those because I'm going to take a little bit more time here than doing this because I want to slow down a minute. You can't, because I end up preaching it and you need to hear it taught. So what we said is that we as believers are to exercise dominion in this earth and over this earth as Jesus operated. And that we are to move into the places of darkness in this earth and of course bring the light of God's word. Now realize that the prince of this world has set up his kingdom in this world. And his kingdom is in this world to keep this world under demonic control and to keep us from advancing and holding. That we're supposed to advance and hold. So anyway, just give me a minute. I'm just trying to see which way I'm gonna go, because this is a lot. Now, God's got our back. You know what I mean by he's got your back? That means that he's made himself responsible for your protection and your prosperity, that he'll take care of you in that world. Now, that's a little bit different from the way that things were back when Adam sinned, because once Adam sinned, mankind became selfish. As a matter of fact, all of the things that mankind thought about were from a posture of self-defense. What's going to happen to me? And so God now is taking that away, because that's been a boundary. And what he is saying now is, I'll take care of you. You just go in there and do the job that I've called you to do. Say amen to that. Now, what we got to do with that is we got to trust God. And trusting is coming from a word that we get our word confidence. That we've got to have a confidence or a faith in God, that God knows what's going on and he's there to take care of it. I told you before that God doesn't have to go anywhere to be everywhere. And if you go over, come on over to Hebrews, please, in Hebrews and chapter 10. Now, as we go into this Babylonian society, then we go in there and are in it, but not of it. And God is taking care of us in it. And that one of the things that we talked about or are talking about now is this whole idea of justice. Justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. God expects us to go into these places and reintroduce the kingdom. That is, laws and concepts or principles and the justice of God. And as we go in there to do this, you've got to expect the fact that you're going to have some resistance to you going in there and being what God called you to be or doing what God called you to do. And so we came up with a word called vengeance, words vengeance and recompense. And what we said is that vengeance has nothing to do with hatred or some kind of emotional retaliation or getting even with somebody, but vengeance comes out of a love of justice and is a necessity for punishing offenders. Now understand, the system of justice in the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. And it's even now in the Supreme Court, they're kind of redefining a marriage, if you will. Come on now. And that this justice system is something that is going to have to be a part of the gospel of the church in this hour. That many times we have neglected this part of justice and the law, and we've settled for mercy and grace, and we thank God for that. But the other side is truth and justice. And that it's got to be in there. And when that is not there, then there is no strength. Because now a person could make laws that are against the laws of heaven. And that in these last days is something that is beginning to be done. And now what we said is that revelation should be a normal way of operating for church folk. That we have something beyond information. You see, if you don't have revelation, you can be deceived. And people have had a lot of head knowledge. And like I told you, there ain't but so much in your head. And compared to what you can get out of revelation, The head can't even stand, you know, it doesn't even stack up. But my point is that this revelation, once you can get it, then revelation will bring a revolution. See? Once you see from revelation what has been, how you have been unjustly treated. Say amen to that. It will bring a revolution. Say amen to that. Over here, let me just read this because I want to go to something else. Verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now, what am I doing here? I'm just saying that no more selfish, no more self-defense. He's saying, I'll take care of you. Vengeance belongs to me. If you look in the scriptures, you'll see that God says in Psalm, I think it's 34 and verse 7, the angels of the Lord encamp around about you and deliver you. He said over in Psalm 91 that 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. He said over in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Says over in Amos, he said, you are the apple of my eye. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I'm talking about all this that God is going to take care of us. Now, if you elect to take care of yourself, then you own your own. Got it? But it takes faith in his word for him to do what he said he's going to do. All right. Now, he said, vengeance is mine and I will recompense. Now, like I said, it's not getting even with somebody or angry with somebody, so forth and the like, that of the sort. It said, but it's a love of, it comes out of a love of justice and it's necessity for punishing offenders. And also recompense means to compensate, or in some people say restitution, but it's more than that. It also means to make amends or to pay damages for something that has been done to somebody. So these two are up there and God says, hey, this is New Testament stuff. The vengeance is mine and I will recompense. Because people think vengeance is something in the Old Testament. No. The hand of God moves in vengeance in the New Testament as well. All right. So what is happening is now the world is walking in darkness. And the world don't know what they're doing because they're under the influence of some different spirits, deception, and so forth. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 12:9 that Satan had deceived the whole world. Are you with me? All right. Now, once you understand vengeance, it creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Because now nothing is going to hurt me. That the number one job of the Holy Ghost is to execute vengeance on behalf or upon all the enemies of God on behalf of his people, and nothing shall escape him. Got it? Now, this vengeance is heaven monitoring the injustices. And that the Holy Ghost's number one job is to execute that vengeance. And the ministry of Christ has been duly and completely turned over to the Holy Ghost. That once Jesus left, the Holy Ghost came. Say amen to that. Now, you know it's something different because a state where some people, glory to God, y'all with me? Where here was a man and he was blocking the way to the governor here in the Word of God. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And he's blocking the way. Now he's blocking the way. And Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord have mercy. Come on over here. Let me take you to it. Acts chapter 13 real quick. Now, I'm just wrapping this up, so I'm just giving you things that you should know by now because we've been talking about them already. Praise God. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, I got papers galore up here, so don't just listen to what I say. So, verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. His name was Bar-Jesus, which was with a deputy or governor of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, an intelligent man, who's called for Barnabas and Saul, and he desired to hear the word of God, so he wants to hear the word. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so in his name his interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Watch this. And Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the who? Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the who? Devil. Now understand, the prince of this world had been enslaving the masters of this world. Now the church is here to take back this whole earth, the people and the property. And he said, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist in the darkness, and he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at all the doctrine of the Lord. Now, what happened here? Now, we've talked about this before, but look what it says here. It says that verse 9, and Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You got what I'm saying? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when somebody has a prophetic word in this church and they stand up and they begin to prophesy, filled with the Holy Ghost. So Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke a word to this man. And he said, you'll be blind not seeing the sun for a season. Now, who said that? The Holy Ghost. Whose mouth did he use? Paul's. What happened to the man? Exactly what he said. Got it? The Holy Ghost has completely taken over the ministry. You got to hear what I'm saying. Now, when you speak that, like Elijah spoke it and told Jezebel and them, this is what you tell that woman, so forth. And then after that, all this happened, he runs and gets up on the tree asking God to kill it. Well, you know he didn't want to die because all he had to do was stay out there and get Jezebel hit him. Jezebel would have taken care of him right away. But notice what happened. He had post-prophetic syndrome. He now, after he spoke a word, he went back to his house and began to say, now, why did I say that? Don't you even dare ask yourself why you said that. Because when you said it, you were under the influence. Say amen. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm saying God's going to use you in this hour, and you're going to be able to say stuff that you hadn't even studied yet. You're going to be able to say stuff that you didn't go to school to learn. You're going to be able to say stuff that people are going to look at you and say, my God, where did that come from? I tell you where it came from, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now, because this hasn't been taught, many of the church have been victims. Because this vengeance is designed to protect you and your family. Woo! You see, the Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Whatever has been affecting or humiliating you, whatever's been against your peace and your progress, whatever's been against your business, your career, your children, your family, whatever's been against you, God is commanding vengeance. See, you ain't gonna need to study war no more. I'm telling you right now, anything contrary to beauty and comfort in your life is gonna be dealt with, because you're gonna get a little fresh oil. Now, y'all with me here? So understanding vengeance significantly changes you. And too many people come into this thing dealing with selfishness, dealing with self-defense. What am I going to, so forth and so on. Wherever he tells you to go, you just go. Now, what we showed you Moses. Now, let's come back there and look at Exodus and chapter 2, please. Exodus chapter 2. See, though I walk through the valley, come on, of the shadow of death, come on, I will fear no evil. And folks, I believe that even General Patton, I got a prayer that he prayed. He asked the chaplain, because they had overcast bad weather. General Patton couldn't move his army forward and so forth. And he was trying to liberate these people and couldn't move the army forward and so forth. This was years ago, back in the 40s and so forth. But he called the chaplain and said, "Chaplain, I need you to give me a prayer that we can advance against our enemy," and so forth. The chaplain said, "Well, now, I'm not sure whether we should do that or not, because I'm not sure what the Almighty feels about, killing your fellow man." And he said, "You just write the prayer. I'll pray it. You just write the prayer." And I copied this thing down. Here's what he said: "Almighty and most merciful Father." Now, understand, the chaplain just gave the prayer over to General. General said, "I'm in good stead with the Almighty, and you just give me the prayer." And he prayed it. Now, understand, he hadn't been able to move forward for days. The enemy has caused bad weather to come in. How many of you know the enemy can't affect weather? He had caused bad weather to come in. They couldn't get airstrikes in. Nothing. And so what happened? He said, "Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain this immoderate weather with which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with power we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and among nations." The next morning, everything cleared out. Everything opened up. Come on now. I'm saying, because people haven't understood vengeance. They haven't understood how God works. And because they haven't understood it, they've been victims. And I'm telling you, there have been some situations that have happened. If people could have understood this, they wouldn't have retaliated against some people. They wouldn't have had to retaliate. All they had to do was pray the prayer of faith. All they had to do was say, "God, avenge me of my adversary." Praise God. And you will see justice come in. So justice is a part of the gospel of the kingdom. Now let's keep going here. Are y'all still with me so far? All right. Now, as we look at this, he said over here in Moses. Now, this is, I'm reviewing now. The only reason I'm doing this is because I want you to understand what we've been teaching here for the last 3 months. What, how long it been. And I want you to understand it, because I wanted to get into your spirit to the point that when God picks you and chooses you to do something, that you don't have to hesitate. You can march forward. Say amen to that. This man was fearless, General Patton. He wasn't afraid he was going to die. He knew he wasn't going to die. I'm telling you now, there's a place, an attitude, and a behavior that you can have. You see, fear will cause some major problems in your life. And fear did not come from God. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, come on, and love, and a sound mind. I have something on fear here. You remember when God told Moses, he told him over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, Lord have mercy. Can I just show you this? Put something right there at Exodus chapter 2, please. Come on fast, because I got 9 minutes here. I got to do this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and look what he says here in verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where you go and possess it, and has cast out many nations from before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater, what and what? Mightier, keep going, than you are. Than you are. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt do what to them? Smite them and utterly do what to them? Destroy them, and thou shalt make no what with them? Covenant with them, nor show what to them? Don't even show them any mercy. Now, what am I saying with you now? I'm saying that in this, he talks about these seven spirits. And what they are is strong men. But remember what he said in Luke chapter 11. He said, hey, you can't bind the strong man. You can't enter in strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. Here's what he said in Luke chapter 11, verse 21. When the strong man arms keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. In other words, you're going to come into a strong man's house and take everything he's got. Now, how many of you know the devil is a thief? The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a thief. What does a thief mean? It means that what he has doesn't belong to him. Come on now. If a thief steals your automobile and puts it in his garage, is it his? No. He owes you that car, because that's not his car. That's your car. And I'm telling you, what the devil has stolen was things in the earth. And it's not, none of this is his. Whatever he's using belongs to you. And so what we got to do is we got to get it back. Say amen to that. And somebody's got to stand up against it, because the thief has invaded the Justice Department and some of the government and got people in strategic places that have been making unjust laws so that he can keep what he's got. But you and I are coming in to execute judgment and righteousness for everybody that's been oppressed. We're going to set the table straight. So I tell you, when you get a revelation of this, it'll cause a revolution in your life. And that's what I said. Civil rights was all about boundaries. They had kept people behind the boundaries. I knew when I was a kid I had to go in those places and I couldn't eat where they had the whites could eat in the front. I had to go around the back and go around where some flies were, and the screen was all torn out, and the chicken didn't taste good. And I'm saying, that's where I had to eat. And I didn't like it. I began to complain to my dad. I said, why we got to go around here? Son, just shut up now. Come on around. I don't know whether I want to go around there now. I'm a little boy fighting back, because I knew that boundary was not supposed to be in my life. So it was causing a revolution. I was beginning to rebel against a system that was unjust. But I'm telling you right now, Rosa Parks said, I'm not sitting in the back of the bus not one more time. I'm moving up front. I'm sitting where my rights are. And I'm telling you right now, nobody can stop you from going forward. Say amen to that. So what am I saying? I'm saying it has nothing to do with hatred or nothing to do with getting even with somebody. But if you look at what Martin Luther King preached, He said, I'm not going to quit until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. He got it right out of the book of Amos. And I'm telling you, he saw something. And he saw it. And when he saw it, something clicked inside of him. He said, I may not get there with you, but I have seen the promised land. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you right now, when you can see it, it'll cause a revolution. When you can see your marriage supposed to be a certain way, it'll cause a revolution. When you can see your children supposed to be saved, it'll cause a revolution. When you see you ain't supposed to be in debt and they call in your house for these bills every month, you gotta start a revolution. Folks, this is what it's all about. It's about boundaries. And God didn't put them there. The devil put them there to keep you down. Now, the thing about it is you can't blame people because they're walking in darkness. I said they are walking in darkness. But you got to go to the one who's behind it all. The thief. That's the devil himself. And we're not going to stop till we invade his camp and take everything that he ever thought he had. Say amen to that. Now, this is for everyone. He has stolen something. I don't care what your background is. You, I guarantee you've been robbed. Now let me finish this. Whoa, I didn't mean to preach that. See, once vengeance comes, you don't have to get, I'm going to get you at 3 o'clock. You don't have to go through that. Now, you become a battle axe. Because you know nothing can stop you. Folks, they could have stopped me from coming to Chicago. The devil would have. If he could have stopped me from Lake and Pulaski, he would have. If he could have stopped me from moving to Forest Park. I remember what they told me over the village. They said, if we knew you were going to grow this big, we never would have had you in here. Now, wait a minute. Those people are not there anymore. But I'm just saying, he told me what was in their hearts. And that's all right. See, you can tell me that because I ain't no hater. I don't need to do that. See, if you get selfish, this doesn't work.
That's right.
This doesn't work, folks. You have an order to love your neighbor. Not an option. It's an order. Now, let's look at Moses and we out of here. I got a minute and 50 seconds. Ain't no way I can finish this in a minute and 50 seconds. So here's Moses. So he slayed an Egyptian. What did he do? Took vengeance in his own hands. What happened? Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill you. Put out an order to kill him. What did he do? He ran because he knew how powerful Pharaoh was. What did God do? Let him stay over there for 40 years and then came and got him. So now I want you to come back over here and get Israel set free. Now, first thing he thought about is, wait a minute, I ran from over there. They don't forget, praise God. But what did God do? He began to demonstrate the justice of God, the power of God. Now, what happens? That once you understand vengeance, it creates a significant change in your attitude and behavior. Now, God said, go back. He didn't send him back with an army. He sent him back with Aaron and a stick. He said, now I want you to go back there and get this, the strongest man that you ever seen in your life, the most powerful man, and tell him, I said, let my people go. Say amen to that. He didn't say, let your people go. He said, he was speaking as a mouthpiece. Let my people go. Got it? So we went down there. Told what happened? Told it. And what we showed you In Psalms chapter 8, first in chapter 7, he said, I'm going to make you a God to Pharaoh. That means I'm divinely positioning you for one who's going to be an authority over him. And so now he said, Pharaoh's going to ask you to do a miracle. Why? Because Pharaoh knew it took power. If you represent a God, that you do have some power. And so what happened? He threw his stick down, turned into a snake. Once he did that, he called his magicians out, because his magicians always entertain him with all that witchcraft. And so he called them out, and they threw theirs down, turned into a snake too. But his snake ate up their snakes, okay? Because God's kingdom rules over everything. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so the next thing that happened, Pharaoh now began to start bargaining with him after a couple of those plagues came in there. Now I want to show you this. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Put some right where you are. Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm out of time. Can I have 5 more minutes for you? Okay. No, we got to come back in. Okay. Y'all with me here? Ezekiel chapter 33. Here's what it says. Now, this is a profound scripture. My wife showed it to me one time, and she's my helpmate. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Who said that? Come here. I got $100 for it. Doesn't matter. Let me peel it off. Okay, amen. Good man. See that? If you say the right thing, did I hear somebody over there? Okay. All right, I didn't think so. Now, in this, look what it says. You know, every now and then, there's a word spoken that hits my spirit, and it'll say, bless him, or bless her. You know what I mean? Every now and then. Now don't be just hollering out some stuff, because that ain't where we coming from up in here. I'm gonna have the ushers usher you out. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Look what it says in Ezekiel chapter 33, very important scripture, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the who? Wicked. But that the wicked turn, keep going, from his way and what? Live. That's just stop right there. That's God. That's his will. God loves people. But he came and he dealt with Pharaoh. Told Pharaoh, told him what to do here. And Pharaoh was supposed to let those people go. But pretty soon when Pharaoh saw that this thing looked like it's getting beyond his power, he began to try to negotiate. And he negotiated over in Exodus chapter 8. You want to come back there right quick? Exodus chapter 8. Are you getting something out of this here? Now all those ites are strong men. Hittites are sons of that means sons of Terah, come from the son of Canaan, and who is the son of Ham. It means Terah, and that's what the enemy is using today, especially in this Al Qaeda and so forth, using terrorism. And the reason why he is because he knows the Joshua spirit is about to rise. See, and that's the spirit that deals with it. Are y'all with me? And it's fear. It's fear of death, fear of uncertainty, fear of poverty, just fear. Job said it like this, the thing that I feared most, what happened? It came upon me. So when you face your fears and move toward them, they will diminish and recede. But when you back away from your fear, it'll grow and ultimately consume your life. Face your fears. Say amen to this. And that's one spirit. Another spirit is a parasite spirit. And that's a spirit that needs a crutch. And if you know anything about the Bible, there's a person named Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan. And Mephibosheth was dropped in 2 Samuel chapter 4 when he was a child and became lame in his feet when he was 5 years old. Five is the letter of grace and number great. And so he was dropped. And when he was dropped, now somebody had to take care of him all the time. In other words, he became dependent. And so it's a what we call a spirit of, they call it Tiny Tim's spirit. And it's a spirit that needs to depend on people all the time. Can't do your own praying, got to depend on somebody else doing it. Can't walk, got to depend on you. So forth and so on, and become dependent. And those spirits, it's amazing how they come in and consume the masses of people, that the people who are functioning under a Jebusite spirit. Now, a Jebusite spirit is called literally in Hebrew a thresher. And that thresher is a spirit that stomps on people. It's a spirit that's designed to keep people down. It works hand in hand with an Amorite spirit. And that Amorite spirit is a spirit, again, which chokes off potential in people. And it keeps them down. So notice how those two spirits work together. A spirit here that depends and a spirit of here that stomps them down. So both got to be delivered, the oppressed and the oppressor. Say amen to that. My point to you is that spirits have been controlling the whole thing. They are right now controlling the whole thing. The only hope for that world out there is the church. Because where you go, you can cast them out. Say amen. That's one of the first reasons why we baptize people in this church. You baptize in Jesus' name, and I'm telling you, them spirits got to let go through the name of Jesus. Because through that name, an anointing is released to remove burdens and destroy yokes. When a spirit gets hold of somebody, nobody in the natural can fight a spirit. How you gonna fight a spirit in the natural? You gotta get in the spirit to fight a spirit. And I'm telling you right now that those spirits have been controlling people. They've been getting in people who have been in positions and so forth. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they what? Know not what they do. They don't even know a spirit's controlling them. They think that's their thought. That wasn't their thought. That was a spirit thinking through them, using them as an instrument. But I'm telling you, them spirits, especially of terror, know that the spirit of Joshua is about to rise. And it's trying to get all the ground it can get, including New York. It's trying to get all the ground it can get before the Joshua spirit arises. Because when that Joshua arises, then all them spirits got to bow. Every spirit, I'm telling you, you can be so aware of who you are in the kingdom that when you come in a room, every demonic spirit will shut up. It will bow to your feet. And I'm telling you right now, people complain about this. Those Hittite spirits of fear, they cause depression. They cause the people go into deep depression. I'm telling you, folks, it's spirits. It's spirits. It's spirits for everything. And what you got to do is you got to get let go of this natural, because we wrestle not, come on, against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. Now, you don't go somewhere looking at somebody, you know what I mean? That ain't where you do things. You do things when people, you don't coerce anybody to come into the kingdom. They gonna want to come into the kingdom because they gonna see something that they want to let go of that that's in it. Say amen to this. That's
That's why the devil don't, that's why we don't let them go out of here without getting baptized. That's because we do, the devil will tell them to run.
That's right. That's right.
Because he knows if he hits some anointed water, especially with that oil in it, that that oil is going to separate that spirit, and whatever's been chasing you going to be swallowed up in that water. Say amen to that. You see, you got to come to a place where that those spirits, that fear don't grip you anymore. I'm just a little shy. No, you're not. That's a spirit. And it's a timid spirit, and you need to get rid of it. I said you need to get rid of it. You get that boldness in you, you'll walk up to anybody, anytime, and say whatever God has to say through you. Say amen to that. You saw what happened. They went out there in Canaan, spied out the land, and came back and told the people, and they said, we are in our own sight as grasshoppers. All right, there's that spirit again. It's low self-esteem. It's a spirit of beat down, a spirit of stomp on, a spirit that can't get up on its own. What did they say? Let's go back to Egypt. It's amazing how them spirits will make them start admiring the very person that's keeping them down. Folks, I'm telling you, it's when they're under that, it's hard to get them to talk negative about that leadership. And yet that leader is holding them down. I'm telling you, I'm saying that Hitler had spirits in him. They were running him, trying to take over the world. But God raised up a nation that was willing to come against him. He's raising up another nation. It's called the chosen generation. And they're willing to come against every spirit that's been holding people down. They're going to have to let my people. Now, sit down. No longer do you dislike people, because you got to get them all saved. I don't care what religions they are, you're supposed to get them all saved. God did not delight in the destruction of the wicked. The Bible says in Psalm 82, they're walking in darkness. They don't even know what they're doing. But I'm not afraid. God's going to raise you up. And you're going to have to confront a system. So wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, Satan pulled me to the negotiating table. And he told me, he said, no, you, this is what you do, church. You go ahead and start your Christian schools. Matter of fact, I'll give you a charter, let you go private, you know, way, amen. And you can just have them Bibles there and you can just read Bible all day. But let me have these other schools. Let me have these public schools over here. Let me have this. What did the church do? Okay. All right. Praise God. Amen. No. The whole earth is the Lord's. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, we're going to go back and be like David. When they had ripped David off, he went to God, put on ephod, and sought the Lord. Said, Lord, what shall I do? The Lord said three things. Pursue. Overtake him. And recover all. Everything. Folks, we're going after them all. We're going after them all. Because some of them, you know, they got put in prison. But we're going after them too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're going after them all. This is our time. This is our season. God's got your back. Now, I don't want any leader to think
that they're above God. Because I can show you Daniel chapter 5. And there was one of Nebuchadnezzar thought he was all that. Y'all know what I mean by all that? But he saw some handwriting. And he had to call the prophet to interpret it. The prophet said, well, look like your end has come. That God is going to take you out of that position. Until seven times that he's passed over and you acknowledge him, then he'll let you back out. He said, meanwhile, you're going to turn into an animal and you're going to be eating grass like an ox. Hair is going to be on you like a wolf. And what happened? Just like God said, because God is the judge. Come on. Turn to it. Let's just read that. I just want to read that before we go. Turn to Isaiah chapter 33, please. Can y'all stand to be blessed here? Powerful stuff, folks. And I'm not hating on anybody or anything or anything. I know people doing certain things, but they don't know what they're doing. Guaranteed. Them spirits are running all this.
That's right.
That's why we got to come in here and praise God. Because those devils be telling people things even as they come in here.
That's right.
But praise stills the avenger. Watch this, the interpretation, it makes the devil shut up.
That's right.
So you can't even hear his voice no more.
Say
amen to that. Isaiah 33, put it up on the board, please, verse 23. Okay? And here's what it says. Isaiah 33, verse 23. I called it for it a while ago. Hello, praise God. Let me go get it. Isaiah 33 and verse 22. For the Lord is our who?
Yeah.
The Lord is our who?
Lawgiver.
Keep going. The Lord is our King. And what will he do? He's going to save us. He's the judge. See, everybody has to report to a higher authority. I don't care who they are, what nation they're in, or whatever have you. So I'm just saying for you right now that you've been chosen. And that this whole idea of justice is going to become a major topic in these last days. Major, major. Because there's injustice all over the place. And it's wrong, and God wants it fixed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise if you're... Now, are we all right?
Yes.
No, I mean, do you understand what I said?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand that God is a God of love?
Yes.
And that you are people of love?
Yes.
Amen. Let me dismiss right quick, because they're about to break camp here. If you're here and you know that God has spoken to you, oh, Lord Jesus. Say this after me. In the name of Jesus.
Spirit of fear.
I command you.
Leave me now.
Father, I pray.
For a fresh anointing.
To come on me.
That you had placed on Joshua.
That I may fulfill the calling that is on my life. No more fear.
No fear here.
In the name of Jesus.
I am protected.
My family is protected.
My ministry is protected.
My businesses are protected.
My organizations are protected.
And everything that I do
turns to prophetic gold.
In the name of Jesus.
My mind
is stayed on Him.
He is my provider,
my protector,
my promoter,
my preserver.
And in the name of Jesus,
I will.
All the potential that is in my life, everything that has been delaying my promises,
I command you,
go
now,
move,
promises,
come to me,
now,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
There is great manifestation
this week
in my life,
in my family,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take a seat. If you're here, God's speaking to you right now. And you know that it's time for you to be saved. Come on, it's time for you to get rid of everything that the enemy has tried to put in your life. He's speaking to you right now, and you know that it's you. I want to pray for you right now for you to come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because He is the anointed one. He is the reason and the way that we remove every burden and get out from under the pressures and the dictates of the devil. For he is just, the enemy is a thief, and he will not steal from you any longer. Whoever's here right now and you know in your life you're not right with God, God is speaking to you right now. I want to pray with you. If you know that's you and you know that you need Jesus in your life, don't hesitate. Right now, I want you to man up. I want you to get it. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now, and let's get Jesus into your life. Come on. Come on.